You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Oh, we ne'er can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessing for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest, Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love we will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Ryan Lewis, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated now. Turn over to page 341. 341. Whosoever will may come.
Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over land and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over land and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Who Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, to fly forevermore. Whosoever will, may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over land and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever
last one, 64. Praise ye Jehovah. Progressing, obtaining possession.
you, Sierra. Boy, that's one of my favorite songs. And boy, we just have not reached the depth of the graciousness of God's heart to us. And yet he is wanting to expose that to us and show that to us day by day, week by week, throughout our lives, and really for all of eternity. He's going to show forth that greatness, and we can just trust and rest in him. What a great song. Well, so excited for Brother Matthew to come and share God's word with us. And I need to come up here and introduce him so I can grab my Bible. So now I'm ready, and you can come and open God's word to us.
All right. Well, once again, we are excited to be with you all this evening and be able to open God's word with you all. Already enjoyed getting to know many of you. We're trying to get around to meet everybody and trying to remember everybody's names. So forgive us if we mess up on one or two of them. But we've really enjoyed getting to know you all. And we'll continue to pray for you all. And as I trust that you will pray for us as well. We enjoyed a pretty peaceful afternoon and got some naps and just really enjoy being out in the country and kind of like where I grew up over in Missouri, the northeast corner of Missouri near Hannibal, with the fields and the cows and everything, and just really enjoyed that. Very peaceful. Quite a contrast, actually, to what's going on in the Ivory Coast right now. The Ivory Coast is hosting the Africa Cup this year. It's the football or soccer tournament of all of the African nations. And today, they were in the final game of that with Nigeria, and the Ivory Coast won, which is a miracle. And we're excited for them. But I was texting my brother, Nathan, who's there right now, and they sent some videos and stuff, and it was mass chaos there. Just people partying in the streets and honking their horns and shooting fireworks and just a massive thing. So when the Ivory Coast team wins, it's a national event. Everybody gets involved, and it's quite something. So anyway, just kind of neat there. I won't go long tonight. I hardly ever preach long, so I promise I won't go long tonight. I tell people that I'm a short preacher, so... All right, let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 9. Mark chapter 14, 1 through 9. The Bible says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, 'Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people.' And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word together, and I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to hear what you'd have us to learn tonight. I pray that you would use me as a mouthpiece for you, that I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't say, and that I would say the things that I should. And we love you, and we ask this all in your name. Amen. Matthew, Mark, and John all record this event in Jesus' ministry, but neither Matthew nor Mark say the name of this woman. But John, if we look at the account in John says that it was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. In preparation for this sermon, I learned some things about spikenard, this perfume, that I did not know previously. So I'll share them with you so that you can better appreciate what this woman did for Jesus that day. Spikenard was an uncommon perfume that came from grasses that grew in the country of India. When the juices were squeezed or extracted from those grasses, they were dried into a substance that was kind of hard, and it was kind of like lard. And taking that lard-like substance and making it into a perfume, that was a very costly process, a very lengthy process. And so if you add to that the cost of exporting that or importing it from India to other countries, you can kind of understand why it was such a costly perfume, why it was so expensive. In fact, spikenard was so expensive that most people in that day and age could not afford it. If they wanted something that smelled kind of like spikenard, they'd have to go buy one of the cheap imitations that were available then. But the word used in John 12:3 tells us that Mary didn't bring Jesus a cheap imitation. She brought him the real thing, the real deal. And that was worth, it was something that was only reserved for kings and nobility. Actually, spikenard is still expensive today. For those of you who, maybe ladies who like to use essential oils, okay, you can go and buy a little 5-milliliter bottle of spikenard for about $75. So it's very expensive, even today. But this, Mark says here that this alabaster box was worth 300 pence. And that was roughly equivalent to an average of 1 year's wage back then. So an entire year's wage that this woman poured over Jesus' head. In 2023, the average income of one person in the state of Kansas was $61,158. So if you knew that it would please God to spend that money on some perfume and pour it over his head, would you do that? And let me ask you this, would you put it in the offering plate? You know, it's just something to think about as we consider the sacrifice that this woman made for Jesus, how dedicated she was there. John says that when Mary poured this perfume over Jesus' head, the house, or over Jesus, in John's gospel, it includes that she poured it over his feet. And it says that the house was filled with a smell. One commentator I read said this, "Heartfelt worship of King Jesus is never merely private. It always spills over onto others, one way or the other. The lavish, heartfelt, sacrificial, grateful display of affection was for Jesus, but everybody was blessed, even Judas." It's kind of an interesting thought there. But what we see here in Mark chapter 14 is an act of worship. What this woman did was an act of service for Jesus. She was trying to serve Jesus. And as we look at this passage, I believe we can see five things that happened to this woman as she was serving Jesus. And these five things are things that may often happen to us as well as we are serving Jesus. So five things, you ready? We're going to see here, number one, when you are serving Jesus, people may misunderstand. We get this from verse 4. Let's read verse 4. It says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made?'" These men misunderstood the value of her service. They misunderstood what she was doing. You may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you're doing is what God wants you to do, that you are serving God the way he wants you to serve him, but people are going to misunderstand as you serve Jesus. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of visiting a church for the first time, my first time at that particular church, and partway through the service, I noticed that there was a man a couple of rows in front of me that got up and walked out of the service. And you know, immediately some thoughts went through my head, maybe some judgmental thoughts. I thought, well, maybe he's not paying attention. Is he not interested in the service? Why is he walking out in the middle of the service, you know? And a few minutes later, he walked back into the auditorium, and I saw him go up to the pulpit and place a bottle of water on the pulpit for the preacher, for the speaker there. And you know, it's a small thing, but I was embarrassed. I felt ashamed of that. And Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 31, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." And that man was trying to serve God that day, and I misunderstood his intentions to serve God. And that's a small example, but we could apply that to many things. And when we are serving Jesus, people will misunderstand. Number two, when we're serving Jesus, People may say that you aren't doing it right. Let's look here in verse number 5. It says, the people sitting there said, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. The disciples and the people that were there that day were saying, this was not the proper use of that perfume. They're saying maybe they knew she was trying to serve Jesus, but they said, she's not doing it right. That wasn't the right application of that perfume. She should have sold that and given the money to the poor. It would have been more honoring to God, they thought. This story happened at the time of the Passover, and the Jews had a practice of giving to the poor at the time of the Passover. So giving to the poor was on their minds. It was on everybody's mind there. Although I doubt that anybody there would have actually given an entire year's worth of their salary to the poor. Maybe it sounded like the spiritual thing to say at the time. I don't know. John states that it was Judas specifically who said that pouring this perfume on Jesus' head was a waste. And you know, sometimes the people who say that we're not doing it right, say we're not serving God the right way, and who are the loudest about it, sometimes those are the people who themselves are going to fall into sin. So when we are serving Jesus, people may say that we aren't doing it right. You know, I don't know what it could be. Maybe someone here decides that you want to take your kids out of the public or Christian school and homeschool them because you think that's what God wants you to do. Or maybe the vice versa. Somebody wants to stop homeschooling their kids. There are people that are going to say, no, that's not the right way to do it. You shouldn't do it that way. But you have to know what God wants you to do specifically. You could apply this to many situations. I said this morning that Susanna is one of 12 kids. And my in-laws decided that God wanted them to have as many kids as they could. And that's great. They believe that's what God wanted them to do. Some people disagree, and some people say, why did you do that? I'm really glad they had 12 kids, I can tell you that much. But you have to know what God wants you to do. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're doing what God wants you to do, it really doesn't matter what other people say. So when we are serving Jesus, there will be people who are going to say, you're not doing it right. There may be disagreements. There may be disagreements in ministry. There may be disagreements among the church body. But you have to know what God wants you to do specifically. Number 3, when you're serving Jesus, people may say bad things about you. We see this here in verse number 5 at the end. It says, and they murmured against her. This word murmured is interesting. I can just see the disciples sitting around there and whispering to each other, who does this woman think she is? Who does she think she is coming in here and interrupting our meal and touching our master and making this big show? Who is she? Who does she think she is? And murmuring and saying bad things about her. And you know, these were not unsaved people, for the most part, that were saying bad things about her. These were followers of Jesus, devout followers of Jesus, that were saying bad things about her. One of the pastors of one of our supporting churches, whom I greatly respect and have learned a lot from, told me this. He said, Matthew, you know, when you go into ministry, you expect there to be problems. Everybody says, you know, there are going to be tough times in ministry, but you just don't expect those problems to come from the inside. And sometimes that's true. One of the biggest reasons that missionaries come off the field is because of disagreements between missionaries and co-workers. And it's sad, but it does happen. And people may say bad things about you, say that you're not doing it right and misunderstand your intentions. Number 4, when you're serving Jesus, well, let me stop there for a second. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 11, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And Jesus knew this would happen to people who follow him, people who serve him. Now, some people stop there, right? And they say, they think that serving Jesus is all sorrow and heartache. It's not. Serving Jesus is the greatest privilege that you'll ever have. It's an amazing privilege. You know, there's a song, it says, so send I you to labor unrewarded. And I understand the message of the song, but the reality is that when we serve Jesus, it's never unrewarded. Jesus always rewards service for him, and it is always, always worth it. And we see this in the next verse. Let's read verse number 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me." Jesus said that she was doing a good thing. That's quite a reward. Can you imagine if Jesus said that to you openly in front of your friends, in front of everybody, that they are doing the right thing? Wow, what a reward. What a privilege to hear that. Serving Jesus is an incredible privilege. And we see from this verse that when we are serving Jesus, yeah, there will be misunderstandings. There will be people will say we're not doing it right. But number 4, when we're serving Jesus, Jesus will be pleased. And that's our ultimate goal, is to please Jesus. You know, the service that this woman was offering Jesus wasn't really furthering God's kingdom in some spectacular way. You know, she wasn't seeing hundreds come to Jesus because of what she did that day. It wasn't anything spectacular. But it was simply honoring Jesus, and he loved it. It was significant to him. As we are traveling the country on deputation and going to different churches, we have the amazing privilege of being able to see some people surrender to ministry and some to missions, and we're hoping to see some people surrender to come to the Ivory Coast. And we are essentially recruiting some people to come to the Ivory Coast. But we realize that not everybody that we meet in these churches has the capability of doing that. Not everybody has the call to do that. God doesn't call everybody to go to the Ivory Coast. I wish he did, but he doesn't do that. And we need people back here to hold the ropes and to minister right here in Kansas. But maybe you're one of those people that you say, well, maybe you're getting up in years, or maybe you just don't have the ability to go to the mission field like that. Maybe there are certain aspects of service that you're not capable of. But if you are serving God, if you are reaching out and trying to reach the world as best you can, spreading the gospel when you can, and serving God in the way that he wants you to, that is significant to Jesus. That is significant to God. What this woman did here wasn't anything spectacular, but it was significant to Jesus. If you're following and serving God the way he wants you to, that is significant to him, and he will be pleased. Let's read on here in verse 7 and 8. Jesus says, "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And now we come to our fifth and final point, found in verse 9 already. It says here that, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And this brings us to number 5, that when we are serving Jesus, Jesus will reward it. Now in this case, Jesus said that her service would be spoken of wherever the gospel was preached, wherever this story was told, her story would be included as well. It would be spoken of for thousands of years to come. That's amazing. Your service to God may never be written down for people to read thousands of years later, hundreds of years later. It may not be written down like that, but God will see to it that your service is not for nothing. God will make sure that your service to him was profitable, even if it was just to bring glory to him, honor to him. That is our ultimate goal. So just as I wrap this up here in conclusion, I told you I would be short, right? I wouldn't go long. So just in conclusion here, recently I read a missionary biography. And anybody in here like reading a lot? I like reading missionary biographies, among other things. But this particular one was about a man who decided that God wanted him to go to India. And his wife begged him not to go. Multiple counselors advised him, no, you can't go because of your health. It's not wise. And ultimately, he was stubborn and he left his wife and spent the last 20 years of his life in India, away from his wife and friends. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, okay? This is not a message for those who want to be stubborn and try to serve God in their own way in an unbiblical manner. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says that there, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We are to seek wise counsel, and God uses that. But this is a message that I hope will encourage people who maybe you're serving God, you know you're serving God, but maybe you're just a little bit discouraged by what people are saying or what's going on around you. The Bible says that, and I just want to encourage you, that Jesus does see your service, and he is pleased by it. Perhaps tonight you're serving Jesus, you're discouraged by the naysayers, but there is hope and there is joy in serving Jesus. There really is. It's the greatest privilege you could imagine, and he will honor it. Psalm 37:1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." I read a book recently written by a pastor's kid who had kind of a rough experience growing up. But towards the end of the book, the author made this statement: "It is difficult to see the benefits of ministry, but with God, anything is possible." And that's the wrong attitude. When we are serving Jesus, it is such a joy. It is an incredible privilege. And my wife and I cannot wait to get back to the Ivory Coast to serve God. As we are traveling, you know, we spend many hours in the car together, and we spend many hours just planning and discussing and talking about how we're going to serve God when we get to the Ivory Coast, because that is our passion. We are so excited about that. There are so many possibilities there for reaching the lost, and so many open doors there, and it's so exciting. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's heartache. You know, people will say bad things about us. Probably when we get there, there will be missionaries that might say we're not doing things the right way, or might disagree with each other, or people in the ministry. But you know what? As long as we are doing what God wants us to do, we know that Jesus will be pleased. And that's all that matters. So maybe you're here tonight and you're like that. You're distracted by what other people are thinking and what they are saying about what you are doing. Maybe you're here tonight and you're kind of on the other side of the story. Maybe you're like the disciples who were there and they saw this woman who was pouring the perfume on Jesus' head, and they didn't think she was doing it right. Maybe you see someone who is trying to serve Jesus, but you don't agree with how they are doing it. Sometimes that happens. I mentioned earlier that disagreements come up. You know, some people say, "Well, I think God wants to be served this way. I think that what you're doing is not really lining up with the Bible, or what God wants. I don't think that God wants you to do that in your specific situation." We have to know if that's what God's will is for us specifically. In John chapter 21, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter turns around and he sees another disciple. And he said, "Well, Lord, what about this man? What shall this man do?" And Jesus said, "What is that to thee? Follow, if I will that he tarry till I come, follow thou me." Basically, Jesus was saying to Peter, what does it matter? Mind your own business and follow me. And you know, we would do well to do the same today. Sure, we're going to see things we disagree with in other people's lives, but we don't have to be the regulator of all that. Jesus does that for us. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus said, "Follow me." See, you know, sometimes we get discouraged because we're focused on other people's ministries, other people's lives, how they're serving Jesus. But Jesus wants us to follow him. So no matter what side of the story you're on tonight, whether you're like this woman serving Jesus with people around that disagree with what she's doing, or whether you're one of those there who disagrees with how the woman was serving Jesus, God's message to us tonight is clear. Mind your own business and serve Jesus. That's what he requires of us. A few years back, I had the privilege of doing an internship, missionary internship, with missionary Frank Maeda in Italy. Had a wonderful time there and learned a lot of things. And where I stayed was actually a room in the church, and it was a couple miles from the missionary's house. So I had a bicycle that I would bike back and forth from the missionary's house to the church. And one night, I was going from the missionary's house to the church, and it was sort of getting towards dark. It wasn't dark yet, but kind of dusk. And to this day, I do not know why I did this, but I got on that bicycle with one hand on the handlebar and my other arm holding my laptop. And so I go around the corner and out of sight of the missionary. I got around the corner and bam, I hit the pavement. And my laptop went skidding on the ground. And anyway, I kind of dusted myself off and got up. And don't know why I did it, but I got on the bicycle again the same way. Thought I could do it. And I started going, and bam, I hit the pavement again. And as a miracle, my laptop still worked after that. But I was okay. Anyway, finally got back to the place I was staying. But you know what I did both times after I fell? I got up and looked around to see who'd seen me, right? See if anybody had seen my mistake. You know, so often we live our lives like that. So concerned about what other people think. So concerned what other people are doing, what they think about what we're doing. And you know, if we actually knew how little people thought about what we're doing, it'd be pretty humiliating. It'd be a humbling experience. But you know, if you are doing what God wants you to be doing, it really doesn't matter what other people think. So my question for you tonight is just this. Are you serving God? Are you serving Jesus the way he wants you to serve him? In light of God's, in light of Scripture, in light of the Holy Spirit's leading, are you serving Jesus the way he wants you to serve him? Because if you are, it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You know, eventually I'm sure that woman probably forgot the things that were said that day. Years later, 40, 50 years later, she probably didn't remember the words that were spoken that day, but I bet you she never forgot Jesus' words. She hath wrought a good work on me. And I don't know your situation tonight. Maybe people are misunderstanding you. Maybe people are speaking bad things about you. Maybe they're saying you're not doing it right, but that is nothing compared to the joy of serving Jesus. Those things will fade away. Years down the road, you may not remember those things. You will remember what God tells you. If God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that will last. The joy that comes from serving Jesus, that lasts. So I just want to encourage you tonight, whatever is going on in your life, if you're trying to serve Jesus, if you're serving him the way you know he wants to be served, there is nothing that can compare with the joy that comes from serving Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this example that you've shown us in your word. Lord, we know that it's easy to become entangled in this world and the opinions of other people and our peers. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stay free from that and just to focus on what you want us to do, the task that you have before us. Pray that you'd help us to focus on honoring and adoring you, just like this woman did here in this story. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you're going to do. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, he's left me enough time to preach another message here. Thank you very much for that encouragement. And it is a joy to know that the Lord sees and the Lord knows and he will reward us as we serve him. And he alone understands our heart and knows our intentions. He's a wonderful, wonderful God to serve. Thank you so for the encouraging words. And I was thinking about that too and reminding of when she made that sacrifice. In the sacrifice that she made, she really reflected what the Lord was going to do in the sacrifice. And so as we serve him, we reflect and mirror his service to us. And so God will bless us. And we have an opportunity to serve even this evening. And remember how we studied at the beginning of January, 3 John, that we have an opportunity to speed on the way, those who are, they'll come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they've left and they've forsaken all to for the sake of his name. And so we're going to have an offering here this evening. And so as the ushers prepare to bring that, I'm going to ask Brother Matt Brock, if you wouldn't mind praying for this offering.
Thank you. As we passed around the state during this often these missionaries on the way, Lord, that they continue with a joyful attitude of serving you.
Thank you, Matthew. Really have demonstrated for us what music can be done to lift up our hearts, to say, oh, how great thou art, and he truly is. So I'd like to ask Brother Kenny if he wouldn't mind closing us with a word of prayer for our service.
Just meet your needs, or you meet the need of